Welcome to Books, Beauty, and Business, where our goal is to inspire, motivate, and encourage others through laughter, accountability, success stories, and most importantly, easy steps for achieving greatness. My name is Tawny Bro, and I'm so excited to have today with us Jenny Ellsworth. She is a devoted writer and storyteller. You can read her work in magazines like Texas Monthly, or as a regular contributor at Good Grit magazine. She tells stories of influential modern-day Southerners that will make you laugh, cry, and find the good in people and the world around you. She also works with big companies to create compelling web content that helps them engage their audiences. So she's just a full of content, this content creator life that she has. But she also is very passionate about using her own life experiences to empower and inspire others, which led her to publish books about choice motherhood and unexpected life situations. Her book, Magic Kids, provides an exciting story that celebrates family diversity and empowers children of single mothers by choice to embrace those stories. She also used a life experience and of her education in the funeral business to have a guide for people going through the funeral process. She's incredible, and she uses her skills to benefit nonprofits locally and nationally. So let's jump into the interview with Jenny Ellsworth. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jenny, on Books, Beauty, and Business. I know our listeners are going to be very excited to hear your story. I'm very excited to hear your story as well. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we are really interested to get into your story. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey?
So my journey, Tawny, is kind of a mixed bag. I grew up in Tennessee. Now I'm living in Houston and have been for almost 8 years now. And my journey to get here, like I said, is just a mixed bag of a lot of different experiences.
Okay.
I studied journalism in college, but I didn't finish college until I was about 28.
Okay.
And that was after a career in the fitness industry of about 10 years.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, started my degree, and then life happened. That part of life after high school took me to Chicago and Southern California and then to Austin. So a lot of different places, and ultimately back to Nashville, where I decided it was time to go back to school. And I thought I was going to do a physical therapy degree.
Okay.
And got back into my journalism classes just to finish my undergrad so I could go on to PT school, and realized that's really where my passion was and decided to go back to it.
Awesome.
So after school, I kind of fell into advertising, which was not my first love. Writing and storytelling was my first love. And it seemed like, you know, all of these different steps I was taking didn't make much sense, and I was hearing people say a lot, you're interested in too many things. You're never gonna have a successful career because you have too many interests. And I struggled with even almost being too creative.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I've seen in the last few years all of it kind of come together. I flipped over from advertising into a content position. And 2 months after I took that position as an editorial assistant at a magazine, the managing editor quit. And I found myself doing all of the managing editor duties and eventually running the magazine.
Wow.
So I got a lot of experience.
You're like, I have been promoted.
Right? Yeah, without the title or the pay raise. But how often does that happen to us, you know? Yeah,
exactly, exactly.
But really, it was a priceless experience because it brought me back to my first love and then expanded my experience finding the story and assigning the story to the correct writer who could really tell it well. And then editing what was coming in and putting together something that was completely cohesive. I did jump back into advertising for a little while, and I started my second round in advertising. I started getting closing deals based on story ideas. So I was starting to see kind of my path come together.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy how life does that to you? It like you're going down and all these different things, and you're like, how is this going to come together? And then all of a sudden you start seeing, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And now it all makes sense looking back at it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in my first position in advertising sales, so I kind of flew under the radar. The company had an opening in content, and I applied for it, but I didn't tell my boss. And of course he found out because it was within the company. And he called me and he said, "What were you thinking? You're never going to be in content. You're too good at sales."
And kind of pigeonhole you in that.
Yeah. And you're never going to be able to do it. And now years later, I found myself writing content for some of the biggest companies in North America and even the world, because that's sales.
Yeah.
People are, even if it's not a true sales funnel online, people don't want to be sold to. They want to hear a good story. They want you to mm-hmm. touch their emotions and their hearts and solve their problems. And all of that is done through words.
Yeah. So
even the sales part has kind of come together.
I have so many questions. This is so interesting. No, I love this. And I think we all have that story, that journey of like looking back, like I was where I was supposed to be to pick up the skills at that time that I needed in order for me to fully be prepared for this next step, right? This new job. Right. And so writing content, can you just describe a little bit, like, are you writing, like, when I think content, I'm like, are you writing documents? Are you just writing those little blurbs? Are you like, what part of that are you doing?
That's a good question. I've worn so many hats. Mm-hmm. It's not even funny in the content world. And so right now I'm writing for ExxonMobil.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing digital content for them, and it's internal. So none of it is public facing. Mm-hmm. For that specific project. I've also written on the other side where it's completely consumer facing for mm-hmm. one of the largest funeral companies in North America. And in both cases, I'm writing, you know, web pages, articles that people are reading, mm-hmm. web pages that are informational, but they have to still be engaging and keep your audience. And even down to buttons on the page and what that button says or where things are in the menu bar, all of that makes a difference. And we've got, you know, now we have user experience mm-hmm. designers and researchers, and those are careers where they're just studying people's behavior online and kind of the psychology behind it. So I come and add the words to that on most projects. At least digital projects, I work very closely with a UX team mm-hmm. to make sure the words are right on the page.
So I can see the path you took to get into the content world, and you're writing content for large organizations, but you're also a storyteller and write books. So do you want to talk a little bit about kind of how you found the passion and the love for just writing your stories?
Yeah. That's actually been a recent discovery within the last year. And I've had a rocky road, to say the least. And I think we all have different life experiences, right? That are different challenges that we face, and things that are hard for one person might not be hard for another. But part of my story is, two divorces, so two failed marriages, which is a whole different podcast. But and even
yeah, we can go down that road. Yes.
But
called life. That's what it's called.
Right? It's life. Mm-hmm. And even that part of my story, it took me time to be able to own that. And really, it wasn't until after my second divorce that I really embraced it. And I thought, okay, just like my career path, I don't know why this is happening this way or in this order, but this is part of my story and I'm going to own it. And I found that through sharing my story, it empowered other people.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend who was in an abusive marriage and didn't want to get divorced because it was going to be her second divorce. And I didn't know that at the time. We had just met. And I started sharing my story, and her eyes just became waterworks. And that's how we bonded over that, something that was in common. But she realized that that's part of her story too. And the shame from that should not make her stay. But as a result, I found myself in my mid-30s and my doctor saying, what are you going to, like, are you going to have kids? Do you want to have kids? What's going on? And I had a friend at the same time who had recently gotten married and in his 40s, and his wife was struggling with fertility issues. And I was encouraged from several different people to explore freezing my eggs. So I did, just because I always saw myself as like, okay, I could have kids and do the mom thing, or I could totally be a career person. And I have two amazing nephews who are my world. And I could just like nail my career and be an amazing aunt and spoil them rotten. And I found that like when push came to shove, I was like, okay, I at least want the option. So I did that in my early 30s and gave myself the, I don't want to call it an ultimatum because it wasn't really that, but permission to investigate being a single mother through IVF when I was 38, but definitely when I was 40. So last year, more than a year ago, but it kind of, it came to go time last year at the end of the summer. I decided to do that. I had been planning, I had been to counseling about it. I talked to different doctors about it and decided to pursue that. And my doctor even said, wow, once you made your decision, it was like, okay, let's go. So I transferred an embryo. I had an IVF cycle that resulted in two embryos, a boy and a girl. And I transferred the little girl in early October of last year. The cycle didn't work. The embryo didn't stick, which shocked everyone, my doctor included, because I have no fertility issues. But during that process, I really embraced every step of the way, from finding a donor to every single doctor's appointment. It makes you a single mother by choice, just going through that process. And during that time, there's a lot of we have a big community on Facebook and where we can ask each other questions. It's a judgment-free zone. People are welcome, even if they're just thinking about it, to, we have some people who have kids who are in their teens now. And the question often comes up, like, what am I going to tell my child? So that was really the first story that I told out of my experience. I just had a brain dump one day, and after reading that conversation, and wrote a complete kid's book that was the result of that question and what I want to tell my child. And I want my child to know that you're special and nothing is missing from our family. We might look different than other families, but nothing is missing. And also, I wasn't missing anything before you came along. I was still a whole person with a complete life.
Oh my goodness. That gives you all the feels. Like,
sorry, I couldn't even let you get a word in.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Well, and I think, I mean, there's a lot to that, right? Because that's a decision that you've made as a single adult that you want to have a family. First, that right in itself, I mean, that's a decision, right? I know a lot of people, they're like, I do not want a child. And a lot of people are, they're like, I do want children. So you've made that decision. And then the next step was the selection process. And the only thing I can reference is every movie I've ever seen, you know, like flipping through things. You, nope, you. Like, I don't know how you pick a donor.
Yeah. Well, honestly, that was the most terrifying part for mm-hmm. me. And that's why it took me a year to actually pull the trigger mm-hmm. was choosing a donor. It was just terrifying. I don't know why. And some women have no problem with it. It's like, it's just genetic material. Mm-hmm. You know, just go with it. But I will tell you, and a lot of women, I think, choose this way. I started off, you know, you look at the person's picture, and naturally the first thing you think is, am I attracted to this person? Because you should procreate with someone you're attracted to, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's typically the goal, right?
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Exactly.
I came across this photo, and instead of that natural reaction of asking myself that, my reaction was, I want to protect this person. And that's how I knew who my donor was.
Oh, yeah.
I let my intuition lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of that too is then that origin story, right? So my I am blessed to have two adopted sisters in my life. Like, they are amazing. But one of the things that they had always was a book of their origin. Like, they're, you know, they're from China, and this, here's the story of them and the story of, you know, my parents' whole journey through that. And they've always been very open about it. And I think that that's important. Like, and so that was your idea then, to create this book for your little bambino, yeah, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've had friends send it to, I've had married friends send it to friends who are pursuing this journey as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had friends who are married with small kids who've read it to their kids because they feel like it's valuable to know that different types of families exist. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that in the book too. You know, different families have looked different ways. When I shared it on social media, I did add a disclaimer. You know, this, we mentioned some families have two mommies and two daddies. And mm-hmm. so if that's not something you want your kids to know about right now, then this book is not for you, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So is this book like out there? Like, have you, it's published
it,
and out there?
Yes, it is on Amazon.
This okay.
cover.
Magic Kids. I love it.
Magic Kids. It, since it is pretty new and hasn't gotten a ton of traffic yet, mm-hmm. you have to type in Magic Kids and my name. To Amazon.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of magic kits that come up. So, okay. But it is on Amazon, and that is the best way. It's print on demand, so
okay.
It takes a little bit longer than 2 days. I feel like everything on Amazon is taking a little bit longer than 2 days right now.
Well, I will put that information in the on your page. So people will have a link to your book on there. And so you've kind of shared a little bit about this. So who do you, one of the questions I always ask is, how do you stay inspired and motivated through this process? I mean, this is a life choice. And so, and because we've talked before, I know you're still kind of on this journey. So where are you finding your motivation?
You know, I'm kind of, with the next steps, I'm following my intuition on that too. And mm-hmm. I do have one more embryo. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have the opportunity to try again if the second time doesn't work out. And who knows what God has in store for me. Mm-hmm. You know? But I was initially thinking I would do a transfer at the beginning of this year. And something in my gut told me, just wait. And it wasn't anything fearful. It was a very peaceful, just wait. And now I'm so glad that I did, because we're in the middle of this pandemic now. Mm-hmm. And that would be challenging, not just to be alone and be having to quarantine in an early stage of pregnancy, but also because that process requires so many doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. And is causing anxiety, you know, in so many people who don't usually have issues with anxiety. So I'm really thankful for that. And I'm following my gut on this one. It may be the end of this year. It may be next year. Mm-hmm. Not sure yet. But I do stay in touch with the Single Mothers by Choice community. And I'm pretty involved. And I've made some really close friends through that group. I've met some friends who actually live in my neighborhood. Okay. And this is a global group.
Yeah.
So we've gotten really close, and they're still, two of them are pregnant right now. So they're in the middle of their journey. One actually is fostering to adopt, and then decided she also wanted to try IVF. So she's got a little one and is pregnant with number two all on her own.
Oh, she's got her hands full.
She has her hands full. So on that journey of, I mean, it's really the people around me who inspire mm-hmm. me, but I find that in my writing business too. And my other friends who are in business, they're the ones who are inspiring me the most. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And keeping around those emotionally supportive, but very positive people, that almost makes the journey in itself. And then you were able to create this book that's probably going to help far outside your circle, right, of people in the same situation too. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's the goal, is to empower these kids with their own story, just like your sisters, you know. Mm-hmm. Having your story of origin is empowering. So mm-hmm. that was definitely a passion project. I am working on my second children's book.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
It is not exclusive. It doesn't have a title yet, and it's not exclusive to Single Mothers by Choice, mm-hmm. But it is about meditating.
Okay.
So, and that's kind of been timely too. I've been working with my illustrator. We started, I want to say, in December or January. Mm-hmm. Different things have come up that have caused us to pause and revisited. I've done some rewriting recently. So it'll probably be late summer, early fall when that one comes out. But even though this book started before the pandemic, I'm so excited. I'm more excited about it now, because I feel like that is a tool that if you can equip children with it, mm-hmm. they're going to be able to use that when they're adults too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. I love it. And is that the one that's on the website only?
No.
Okay. So you have another one.
I have another book that I just launched. It mm-hmm. is digital only. And you'll find, as soon as I tell you about this one, mm-hmm. You're going to see a pattern in my life. And where I've found my passion and my niche is using these hard experiences in my life to tell a story and empower other people. Mm-hmm. And that's where my heart is using my story to inspire and empower. Mm-hmm. And through my skill set, I'm able to do that in writing. But a couple of weeks ago, I launched a digital book called Before This Funeral. Mm-hmm. And that's about my experience. You can read my personal part of that story right on the landing page for that. It's only available on the website, and it is a digital download. But it's about my experience having to plan my mother's funeral. And then 2 years later, I want to say it's unrelated, but as we've seen in this pattern, nothing is ever unrelated. Mm-hmm. I found myself as the first digital content writer for the largest funeral services company in North America. So I was interviewing subject matter experts all the time. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much that, and I have, my mother's funeral was a peaceful experience, and it was, I never felt heckled or sold to. Everybody was very compassionate. And I think there's a lot of fear around having to plan a funeral in the moment, mm-hmm. around, you know, prices and probably mostly prices and personality, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I learned so many things by interviewing subject matter experts to be able to write their web content, mm-hmm. That I wish I had known when I was planning. So I took all that information that I learned and I distilled it down into 26 digital pages. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure I will revise and grow. And that's the great thing about it being digital is mm-hmm. I can expand it and build on what's there. And right now, I mentioned, I haven't told many people about that because it's real, anyone can purchase it. And mm-hmm. I have had a colleague and friends found out about it just in random conversation and went and purchased it. And he was like, oh my gosh, I want to share this with my family. These are things that you need to know before you're in that situation. Mm-hmm. And but right now I'm mostly marketing to people who are in that situation, who may be afraid and not feeling confident. And it's just, you know, about who's who in the funeral industry and what is what. What's the difference between a funeral and a memorial? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are your rights as a consumer?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can see how that would be very valuable. I haven't personally had to go through that, but if I did, I would want all the information to make it a smoother process, right? And that would be the perfect for, like you said, anyone going through that, but to prepare anyone that knows it's coming or going, you know what I mean, is in that hard place. Mm-hmm.
So that was another passion project as well.
I love your passion project. I'm all about empowering people. I think if we can take the lessons learned through our experience and then share them in a way that's going to benefit someone else down the road. I mean, I really think that's kind of the mission for Books, Beauty, and Business too, is helping people, you know, with those things that we've experienced to make it easier for them. So I love those type of stories. So do you have any books that you, I mean, as an author and a reader, we always like our favorites or something that's been inspiring you lately. Do you have any book recommendations for us?
I do. And I have it right beside me.
Okay.
So this is The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. Mm-hmm. I am a bit of a self-development junkie. Mm-hmm. And this is written by Vishen, and I can't say his last name, I'm going to butcher it, but he is the founder of Mind Valley, which is a personal development app, and they have lots of courses. So I just started reading this. I have it on Audible as well because I often listen to the same books I'm reading in the car because I don't want to put them down. And then he also has a course that you can do simultaneously on Mind Valley. So that's my read right now.
Excellent.
I find that I don't read a lot of fiction unless, and this is interesting, I'm at the beach. If I'm at the beach, I only want to read fiction. Put me in a chair with a drink and my book and leave me alone all day.
I love that. I love that. I find I'm drawn to the self-help nonfiction books myself, but I do like for entertainment, instead of Well, I have been known to binge watch things on TV, but I will binge read a book too. Like I'll get into it and then like laundry's not getting done, like
fiction. Hours go by.
I do that for sure. I do that. Yep. Well, excellent. And I'll have your book down there, your recommended reading as well. And then, so what is your favorite beauty tip?
Oh, my favorite beauty tip. This is tough for me because my mother used to spend an hour in the morning doing her makeup, and I turned out to be a mascara and chapstick kind of girl. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years ago, I decided that I was going to have a New Year's resolution that I wouldn't feel guilty about if I screwed it up every now and then. So my New Year's resolution 2 years ago was I'm going to wear lipstick every day. And let me tell you how much that boosted my mood, improved my confidence. And I got to, like, if I messed up, if I forgot to wear lipstick that day, or I would try to do it anyway, even if I didn't feel like it. But if I forgot, I could put it on before bed and I can still check that day off my list. And if I forget for the whole day, then I just do it the next day and it's okay. Yep.
That's awesome. It's those little things that surprise us. We're like, oh, it just picked my whole mood up. Like wearing lipstick is one of those things you're like, oh, I like this. I do that with perfume. I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't care. I could be in workout clothes going to yoga. I'm like, oh, I smell so good. I just makes me
feel. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. Okay, so the last thing, we're almost wrapped up here, but what do you have any daily tips? I'm a big routine girl and I do definitely like to have those consistent habits, but do you have any daily tips for success to motivate the ladies out there?
I do. I think, and I know, probably not, this doesn't feel possible to everyone, especially people with kids mm-hmm. who are waking you up early. But I think it's so important to take some time for yourself every morning and just get centered. And I naturally am a journaler. Mm-hmm. And I've started including, I'll give you my Instagram too, so you can include that. Okay. But I've got daily journal prompts that I've been posting on Instagram because I feel like that's so important, whether you're a writer or not. And again, that's something that, you know, I want to share to empower other people. I feel that even if it doesn't have to be a novel, even mm-hmm. if you just write a few sentences mm-hmm. and get it out of your soul and onto the page and start your day with a clear heart and mind.
I love that. I like journaling as well. And I give the same advice sometimes, just write one sentence. But, you know, having a prompt though is a great idea. Like just looking at it to get your, you know, some people have the daily like devotional or something that will get them writing something, but just, I'm going to put your Instagram page on there too. And yeah. I'm going to check that out because I think having a prompt is a great idea.
It's a lot of fun, and it's fun for me to be able to think of them too, and some are really deep, and I try to keep some really lighthearted. Mm-hmm. Today's prompt, it's Friday, and today's prompt was, what are your intentions for this weekend? 5 intentions that you have for this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And since we're in a lockdown with the whole pandemic, it's like, what time do I start drinking wine?
Right. And maybe realistically, like maybe that's an intention. Maybe letting myself take a break. Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. It has definitely been interesting. And so I really appreciate you coming on with us and sharing your story with us. I have a lot of great information here. You've definitely motivated me as a writer to remember, you know, to do those daily things, like even journaling. You're absolutely right. Do you have any last minute tips? And we'll go ahead and wrap this up.
You know, I think the culmination of my story as a whole is don't give up on yourself. Whether it's in your career or in your family, you are important, and what is in your heart is important. And show yourself some grace, but never give up on yourself.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jenny. This has really been amazing. Yes, thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners. Join us for the next interview on Books, Beauty, and Business. You'll find Jenny's information, contact information below, and also links to her website and her books. Bye for now.